In the new year, it's time for endings and beginnings, along with some reckonings. The numerically inclined among the editorial staff of Publishers Weekly have turned in their tallies for 2012. There were more number one bestsellers than ever last year, and we'll find out why that's not entirely cause for celebration. Welcome, everyone, to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally, the host of Beyond the Book. Every Friday, we turn to the editors and reporters of Publishers Weekly for a look at the latest news in books with a view to what will have the business buzzing in the week ahead. Joining me, as he always does, is Andrew Albanese, PW Senior Writer. Welcome back, Andrew.
Happy New Year, Chris. Nice to be back.
Well, Happy New Year to you as well, and, you know, to our entire audience. And we start 2013, as I said, by marking beginnings and endings. Our colleague Rose Fox is leaving us, but she can still be heard as co-host for Publishers Weekly Radio every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time on Sirius XM Book Radio Channel 80, and after that airing on Sirius XM On Demand. So we'll be listening to her on a different channel, and we wish her the very best.
Absolutely.
And so, as we mentioned at the top there, we're looking back at 2012 by the numbers, and in the next issue of Publishers Weekly, your staff has come up with some fascinating facts about what sold and what sold really big.
That's right. So 2012, by the numbers, it's a great way to get a start on 2013, to look back at what we did last year. So Chris, if I was going to ask you, what category of book would dominate sales in 2012, you naturally would answer?
Oh, BDSM erotic fiction, of course.
And you'd be right. You would have been on the money. So we talk about it every other week, it seems. So at this point, it'll surprise nobody that E.L. James in the 50 Shades trilogy really did set the pace for sales in 2012. In fact, reports our own Daisy Morillis, the book set new sales records. In less than a year, the trilogy sold more than 35 million copies in the United States and 65 million worldwide. That's in all editions, in print and digital. 50 Shades also had a huge impact on the sale of other erotic romance fiction titles in general, with publishers paying big bucks for new books in the genre, and a lot of other authors enjoying very largely increased sales thanks to the long coattails of E.L. James. And it also made for a record-setting year at Random House, where CEO Marcus Dole gave everybody a really nice Christmas gift. We might have mentioned this before, but Random House employees all got a $5,000 end-of-the-year bonus. So, you know, Merry Christmas from E.L. James.
Right. Well, indeed, Merry Christmas and a very happy new year for her. We can only imagine what she must be doing with all of that money. And we know what people are doing with all of those books. They're devouring them. But it was an interesting year, not only for Random and for her. There's some other interesting trends that PW has turned up.
Yes. And we have two features. Actually, we have three features on that in Monday's issue. And I'll try not to blind you too hard with the numbers here, but here we go. So as you mentioned, yes, in 2012, we had a record 742 titles that made a first landing on one of the four popular bestseller lists. That's fiction, nonfiction, hardcover, and paper. That's way, way up from the 421 that hit the lists a decade ago. And even 5 years ago, 563 books made a first landing on the bestseller chart. So that's up considerably, about a third from there, too. But it's not all great news, because the tenure of these books on the bestseller list has gotten to be really, really short. In fact, it turns out that 124 of the 222 nonfiction books that landed on the bestseller list this year were only there for a week or two. Trade paper also made a huge leap this year. It went from, it went from 84 bestsellers, new books on the bestseller list in 2011 to 122 in 2012. That's up by, you know, almost 30. I think it was 56 5 years ago in 2008. But again, once again, shorter tenure on that list. Of those 122 trade paperback titles that hit the bestseller list this year, 83 of them were only on for a week or two.
Right. And that does seem to be the point here, that, you know, more but for shorter time. And there were more number ones. But again, that's not necessarily a good thing.
That's right. So more number one bestsellers this year. It's always wonderful to be able to say number one bestseller on your jacket or or put it in your copy someplace. But again, you know, there's some not so good behind the good news here. As Daisy reports, it has been easier in recent years to land the top of the bestseller list. But again, that's because the bestseller tenure has been so dismal. There were a record 89 top sellers. And that's 89 books that enjoyed a shot in the top spot in 2012. But 56% of those only held on for 1 week. Only three had double-digit runs, in fact. I think 50 Shades of Grey, of course, dominated for 31 weeks. Bill O'Reilly's Killing Kennedy led the nonfiction charts for 11 weeks. And Nicholas Sparks, The Lucky One, enjoyed 10 weeks on the mass market list. In hardcover fiction, 28 out of the 36 top sellers, that's 77%, that landed in the number one spots, did so only in the first week of being on sale. Both Gillian Flynn's Gone Girl and John Grisham's The Racketeer had the longest runs in the top spot, 7 weeks and 6 weeks respectively. And 18 hardcover nonfiction bestsellers made it to number one, but two-thirds of those, again, only for 1 or 2 weeks.
So, yeah, the good with the bad, it's getting to sound like, you know, all those awards given out at T-Bone. everybody is a winner. Everybody gets a medal. It's going to get perhaps even a little more depressing if some other trends continue. There's a next wave of consolidation coming, notably with Penguin and Random, and you make some conjectures about where that may lead us.
Well, certainly the numbers suggest that there's something to be looked at here. So no surprise, the conglomerates rule, that's been the case for some time, obviously. And in 2012, the Big Six owned almost 90% of the hardcover bestseller real estate. And paperback, the same Big Six, plus Harlequin, accounted for 94% of bestsellers. So, you know, another common truism in this annual report that we do is that Random House is usually the champion in the game of bestsellers. In 2012, that was true again. It racked up 27% of the hardcover spots and 31% of the paperback spots. Penguin, meanwhile, continues to be number two in the bestseller game with 16% of the hardcover territory and 18% of paperback. So what happens in 2013 when these two giants combine? If current trends hold, that effect is going to be pretty stunning. In 2012, Random and Penguin, if you add it all up, accounted for 44% of the hardcover bestsellers and almost 50% of paperback. That means in 2013, nearly half the bestseller market in print, according to our Nielsen numbers, is suddenly poised to be with one company.
That's quite remarkable. And the PW examination of the numbers goes even deeper into some of the categories.
That's true. Our Gabe Habash has a great report and notes that, you know, overall, virtually every print sector was down from the 2012 in terms of sales numbers, at least in terms of the Nielsen numbers by which we measure, and some by some pretty big margins. Adult fiction was off by 11%. Biography fell off a cliff, off 26%. Sci-fi was down 21%. Children's, notably, held pretty steady. That was just off 2%. But not every category was down. Chris, do you want to take a guess at which category ended the year up?
Let me see. E.L. James was the top seller, so I'm going to guess romance.
And you'd be right again. 35%, big numbers there. But still, you know, Gabe points out a pretty eye-opening stat. You know, we've maintained for some time that trade publishing is increasingly becoming a hits-driven business, and the 2012 results tend to bear that out. In romance, for example, even with the explosive growth, 35% growth in sales in 2012 over 2011, the top 10 romance sellers came from just four authors, E.L. James, Sylvia Day, Nora Roberts, and Nicholas Sparks. And what's more, just three different publishers, Vintage, Berkeley, and Grand Central. And I might add, two of those publishers are going to become one publisher in 2013. So I know I probably made your head swim with all these numbers, but there's also a final stat that I picked out. And I invite readers to pick up Monday's edition and go through the charts and tables and see what numbers jump out at them. But in adult fiction of our Nielsen measurable sales, E.L. James held the top four spots with her trilogy, plus her box set, and she outsold the other six top bestsellers combined by almost fivefold. And that is, in 2012, E.L. James sold 11.5 million more copies than Gillian Flynn, J.K. Rowling, John Grisham, Sylvia Day, Nora Roberts, and Nicholas Sparks combined. That's just amazing to me.
Amazing, and in the vein of 50 Shades of Grey, if you didn't publish it, it's pretty painful.
Well said.
That's right. Well, Andrew Albanese, thank you so much for joining us. Again, we wish our colleague Rose Fox well on Publishers Weekly Radio, heard on Sirius XM, and we look forward to chatting with you again next week.
Look forward to it as well. Thanks, Chris.
Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs, as well as now images, movies, and television shows. Follow Beyond the Book on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at our website, copyright.com. Just click on Beyond the Book. Our engineer is Jeremy Briskey of Burst Marketing. My name is Christopher Keneally. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.